warm hello to you today from the warm heart of a down-home gal somewhere in the warm heart of America. This is Prepare for Freedom, show number 20, coming to you live each Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Central Time on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You can find us online at www.prepareforfreedom.com and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/prepareforfreedom. My name is Sharon, and I'm your host for today's show. And let me now introduce you to my co-host and official Two Cents producer, Billy Bob.
Well, hello, everybody. Our 20th show. How y'all doing today? Hi, Sharon.
Yes, that is a great accomplishment, and we are very, very happy to be here. And as you can see, Billy Bob is raring to go for another show. You'll be hearing more from him shortly, as Billy Bob loves to put in his 2 cents work. Listen to Billy Bob long enough and keep adding up those 2 cents, and you will soon be rich. And now, on to the topic of the day. Are you ready for this, Billy Bob?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm just wondering if I'm going to have to go up to 4 cents.
Yeah. This is a new year. Let's talk about it later, okay?
All right. That was another show.
All right. The topic of the day is activism.
Activism? Would you like to give a little explaining to that? I do have some bad news, good news, if you want to hear that first.
Yeah, let's get the news first out of the way, then we'll go into explaining activism more.
Which one do you want to hear?
Give me the bad news first.
Bad news is I don't even have a good joke for the new year, starting off this new year. But I do got something interesting. Would you like to hear it?
Is that the good news?
Yeah, that's the good news.
All right.
Who was our first Republican president? Was it Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson, James Monroe, or Abraham Lincoln?
Ooh. Well, the only one I know for sure of that group who was a Republican was Abraham Lincoln. So I will guess Abraham Lincoln.
That is correct. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, was the first Republican president. And do you know something else, too? I got something else to go along with this.
Wow, you are really studied up today, Billy Bob. Whip it on us.
Okay, this one is very interesting, too. You know, you talked about activists. Well, the Republican Party was founded in 1854 by a group of anti-slavery activists.
Activists, huh?
Yes. The primary motivation for the party was to reaction to the Kansas and Nebraska Act, which would have allowed slavery in Kansas. Horace Greeley is credited with coining the name Republican, which was first printed in the Greeley newspaper in June of 1854.
So the name Republican only goes back to 1854?
Yes, ma'am.
That's pretty amazing. I wonder how many kids know that fact in school nowadays.
Probably not too many, because I didn't even know it when I went to school. They don't talk about Democrats and Republicans no more. They don't even talk about it. They talk about your activists.
Uh-huh. Yeah, activists can be seen as almost a dirty word. If you hear someone described as an activist, it can conjure up some pretty strange images in people's minds. But by the time this show is over, we're going to give you a whole new perspective on activism and how it's something that you and I and we can do right in our own homes to help us become more free, to increase our own personal freedom by taking some of these principles of activism and putting them to use in our own lives. Are we going to go out and occupy Wall Street? No. Are we going to stir up a revolution? No. But there are some things we can do out of our own home that will, as we do them personally and collectively as families and communities, will help us to restore our freedoms to this country. So, without further ado, let's talk first a little bit about what an activist is. And particularly how being an activist relates to the idea of preparing for freedom. Now, according to Wikipedia, activism consists of intentional efforts to bring about social, political, economic, or environmental change. But what's missing from this definition is the personal aspect of activism, and this is what we want to talk about today. We're talking about the intentional effort to bring about change at the individual or family level, in addition to or instead of the global level. So we are going to suggest to you today that this development of your own personal activism is what is going to enable you and empower you to become a freer person. Now, I can hear it now. You may be saying, hold on, not me. I am no activist. And if you think about it, many people likely that you talk with are actually horrified by the thought of being labeled as an activist. They think of an activist as being someone who marches on Washington, participates in sit-ins, shouts obscenities at the police, a whole bunch of other publicly visible stuff. But this is not what we're talking about here. This doesn't have anything to do with the quiet person who just goes about their daily business in a way that step by step takes them on the path to their own personal freedom. And in this process, they develop some very valuable skills that will enable them to survive if times get so tough that maybe we do have some real civil disorder, that they will be quietly prepared in their own way to kind of wait it out and use their own quiet form of activism in their own families and communities to continue on. So, don't be horrified by the thought of being an activist. Think about it in terms of becoming not only freer but more independent and doing that for the sake of your own personal safety and survival. Now, that said, let's take a look at some of the qualities that your home activist would need to have. And I think when you look at these and listen to these, you'll see these are things that we all have or can acquire. First of all, an activist has commitment. He or she will get things done. They won't just simply dream. They'll act. They'll have tenacity and perseverance to do it. So there's commitment, number one. Number two, the activist is always learning something new. The activist will make an effort to stay informed of issues that may be of importance to the survival of his own family and the world and society in general. He or she is going to stay informed. Now, here's something else about an activist. Activists have a positive attitude. They're upbeat and enthusiastic about what they're doing. Naysayers do not discourage their efforts one iota. To the contrary, that makes the activist work even harder to accomplish his or her goals. Now, is that starting to sound like some of you out there? Whether it's you trying to start a business of your own or just get ahead in life in some way or shake off a whole pile of debt and move forward with your life, whatever it is, to break free of some of the things we've talked about in the past, like abuse or other things. Yeah, we're talking about the same characteristics that will get you through. So we've talked about three so far: commitment, education, and positive attitude. Next comes communication. Not being afraid to speak. For example, an activist will speak up when a sneaky corporation or a corrupt politician tries to control his or her destiny, and they're not going to let themselves be intimidated. They will never, ever give up, and they will communicate what they have to say in a way that's effective without being overly obnoxious, overbearing, loud. They can say what they need to say in a clear way and get their point across. Another quality of an activist, another quality which we all can use to help us become a freer people, is the ability to solve problems. In other words, an activist, or you and I may not know it all, but we're going to figure it out for better or for worse. The biggest thing we can do to shoot ourselves in the foot is become complacent. Complacency or inactive becomes a crutch, an excuse. The words, I don't know how, just does not exist in the activist life. If you don't know how, you're going to find out how. You're going to solve your problems. And finally, passion. An activist and also someone who loves freedom and demonstrates it by their actions is someone charged with the fire and passion to make things happen. We talk about the flame of freedom being still alive in the world, and it will not be quenched. And so it is. So we're going to talk today about five things that we can do as our own home activists to increase our personal freedom. And if any of these qualities we've talked about sound familiar, guess what? You probably already are an activist, and in your own way, you are setting a course to change the world. You may not think so at this point, but that is exactly what you are doing, one day at a time, one piece of new knowledge at a time, one skill at a time. That said, Billy Bob.
Yes.
Are you feeling like an activist today?
Oh, I always feel like an activist every day of my life. But some people just look at me like I'm nuts anyway, but that's okay. I can deal with that. But, you know, I'm just sitting here and all, and like you just said, there are, you can do anything you want and be an activist. But what you're trying to do is actually make yourself more independent of certain things. You don't want to have no control. You want to be able to do what you can to support and sustain yourself and your family. But most of all, to take care of other people if you can, but take care of yourself first. You know, God intended us to worship Him first and take care of Him first by saying prayers to Him and put Him first in your life. Then you can take care of your family, do things and all, and grow different vegetables, gardens, whatever, you know. And then third, if you have enough help, enough things to help people with, help your neighbors in your community. Keep everything in your community. That's why a lot of towns and cities dry up, because there are no help no more. Everything is just going away because nobody wants to support nobody no more.
That sense of community is missing, that sense of a close, local, support each other community feeling has left a lot of towns and cities, yes, indeed. Or jobs have moved and people have moved to what they thought were greener pastures, and now they're stuck in miserable apartments in big cities. Kind of makes you wonder. But, you know, I was thinking as I was listening to you, Billy Bob, that some of the things you were saying, there are likely a lot of people out there that if you went in and told them what you just told me about, you know, putting God first and family and helping others, I'd just kind of roll their eyes back in the back of their heads. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. There are going to be people like that because they don't care about anything at the time, because they think, well, the grocery store, that's where everything comes from, even your big city. People don't even know about God. They know who He is, but they don't know Him personally.
And they don't want to hear about Him either.
No, but you say, where did milk come from? Oh, they'll tell you, Walmart.
Yeah, right.
where did your hamburger come from? Oh, McDonald's, Burger King, places like that. They don't understand that it takes farmers, people with backbones, to produce all these stuff. So, yes, if it wasn't for that, we would have to import stuff. Then we'd be slaves to another country. So it's better for us to grow our own food here, take care of our animals, so we have the freedom to make our choices what we want to buy and what we want to eat.
Right. And we've run into some problems with this over the last several years, haven't we, as we've got bigger and bigger corporations that have taken over family farms and turned them into food factories instead of old-fashioned farms, that now you've got mass-produced meat that, in my humble opinion, is becoming increasingly disgusting to eat. The way the animals are treated in these factory farms is appalling. And I just heard today, actually, that I heard a piece in the news that there is one state, I think it's Florida, I could be wrong about that, but there is one state that's about to pass legislation to make it illegal to photograph any activity at a factory farm. Because there are, you know why, Billy Bob? Because there have been too many hidden camera exposés that have been made of the maltreatment and the cruel treatment and the sicknesses of animals at these factory farms, and we can't have that stuff coming out to the public, at least that's the opinion of those who are running these corporations, because that might hurt business.
Well, that's very true. A lot of your chicken houses, I mean, I worked in chicken houses picking up eggs, and I know how them chickens are. They're in a cage, and they're like six to a cage, in a like very small cage, and they don't last long because they're stressed out. That's why they're only good for like 2.5 years. But people don't understand that that's not really the way God intended to produce eggs and have chickens like that. But no, they want to confine everything and, like you said, mass produce. But let's get back to Florida since you brought that up. There is something I did read, and I think I told you, that went into a new law, and I told you what it was, that the schooling system down there wants to give the schools, the children, food that is grown in their state that is more healthy for you instead of giving all these government food subsidizing stuff. So they're actually going back to the old ways of growing their stuff and letting kids eat it, which is more healthier for them.
Well, great. That it's good to hear that we've got, you know, with the bad news that comes, there's good news that comes also. And this leads us to point number one we want to make. We're going to talk today about 5 ways to increase your personal freedom, starting right in your own home. And here's the first thing that you can do, just based on what we just talked about. Support business and job creation in your own community. Purchase as much as possible from your local grocers, retailers, and farmers markets. Now, there's a lot of reasons to do that beyond just doing it because you're passionate about freedom. And I just want to ask Billy Bob for a minute. Can you think of some reasons to do this from a practical standpoint, even if you're not trying to be an activist for freedom right now?
One thing is you know what you're getting from what you're growing, and you know what you're putting in your soil. A lot of these big farmers they're using different chemicals to grow their food a lot quicker. Also, when they spray them to keep them what they call last longer, crispier, which that chemical is not good for you. But they're trying to do it because they're trying to keep more food going. But when you grow something natural and you grow it yourself, you have more pride into it, what you're doing, too. And you feel pretty good. And you're helping somebody else that loves fresh vegetables, and they know how it was grown. They know you don't put all that chemicals in, like you raise your own cattle and stuff like that. You know what they're eating.
Right. Well, you know where whatever it is you're buying is coming from, especially if it's locally. Likely, you probably have more control over what you're getting. You can see what you're getting. And there's another really big consideration here. When you're supporting local business, doing your shopping there, you're voting with your dollars to support local business, you're also supporting job creation and continuation in your own community. Do you know of any community right now that couldn't use some more jobs?
Oh, we could. And there's a few. And there's little towns right around us that could definitely use it. They're dried up.
Right.
But people don't understand that, you know, it's better to support your local community than anything else because it does keep the job here and put people to work. You know, you might spend a little bit more money, but in the long run, you're doing the community a bigger favor because you're keeping the tax money here, you're keeping everything here in this community instead of sending it someplace else, like Walmart's or someplace like that. And the way the fuel prices are right now, you got to think about that too. Would I rather be a slave let's be a slave. Some people would rather be pay that high price of gas and go 20, 30 miles to go to Walmart and get what they need instead of spending a few extra cents here or maybe 50 cents or whatever here to help their community and keep the business open and keep people working.
Right, and then they go and complain to their local county officials local town officials about how the jobs are drying up and what a bummer is, Main Street looks bad, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if we don't support it, if we don't feed it, it can't grow.
That's why I'd rather support our own little community. Sometimes, yes, I might pay a dollar more or something like that for a pair of pants or a shirt, but then you figure at the same time, look how far you had to go just to save a few dollars. I mean, that's stupid. I mean, you're just enslaving yourself because you're spending all this money foolishly that you should be helping your own community and helping other people out keep a job so they don't have to rely on food stamps or welfare or whatever. They can take care of their own family and support their churches and try to help out other people here.
Yeah, now we do understand, Billy Bob, that a lot of people would disagree with you because a lot of people have a different set of priorities, and to them it's perfectly normal. It's been the thing they've been doing for years, that you go and you spend your money as you want on what you want, where you want it, and the cheapest price prevails. And people take great delight, and they'll drive 50 miles for a bargain when they might pay 50 cents more in town and save themselves $20 in gas. Now, that makes a lot of sense. But people think that way. So when you become an activist, you are adopting a different way of thinking that involves a major change in your priorities. So, just to reiterate our first point here, that the first thing that you and I and we all can do if we want to really get serious about moving ourselves along the path back to personal freedom and gradually back to bringing more freedom back into this country, we start by supporting business and job creation in our own community and also in our own country as much as possible. Buy American. Buy from your local grocers, retailers, and farmers markets as much as possible. So that's point number one.
I agree with you. Let me put a little emphasis on something I said because I don't want people to take it the wrong way. Sometimes you have to go out of town to buy stuff. Sometimes your town don't have it. You have to go someplace else. But if you have to go someplace to buy something, get all what you're going to do. Do your shopping that way and get it all there at one time. Make a one-stop thing. Some people want to go back and forth, what you said. They don't care 50 times to a store and all. But, sometimes you have to go out of town to get stuff. But get it all at one time. Don't just sit around and say, well, I'll go back later or whatever. I mean, you're not accomplished nothing. So I want to emphasize that, I mean, don't take me wrong. Yeah, you can go out of town because there's going to be some stuff you do need.
Right. And we do want to make the wisest use of our money as we can. That only makes sense. So an activist can also be a very reasonable person, but their priorities are going to be a little different, probably from the average person you see walking around today, and I'll leave it at that. All right, moving on to point number two, speaking of money. Here's something that you can do right now, if you haven't already done it, that will make a big difference, especially when one family after another does it. And in fact, it is being done right now, and it is making a difference. And that is this: pull your money out of the big banks and put it in local banks and credit unions. Put your money to work within your community, where you and your neighbors will directly benefit by investing in local business, in other words, in Main Street, instead of Wall Street. How long are we as people going to believe the lies coming out of Wall Street and continue to funnel our hard-earned money to those crooks and corrupt officials which we know are there to manage our money and, of course, then lose it for us? How long are we going to play this stupid game?
I don't know, but some people do all the time. Well, you made a good point. See, if you put your money in a local bank, and the bank is locally owned and operated, you have a better chance of borrowing money if you need it.
Right.
If you needed help there, than you would with these corporate banks that they got all over, like Bank of America. I'm going to use that because
the bank we love to hate, yes.
One of several. You know, they don't care about people so much. They say they do, but to me, they really don't. All they want to do is make that you borrow money, so they make money. They're interested in making the money. Yeah, our local banks would like to make money too. But what do they do? What do these big corporate banks do with their money? Do they put it back in their community?
No.
I think so.
I think a lot of it goes overseas. Since a lot of these banks have international connections, we don't even know where the money goes, and they're not telling us. They refuse to be held accountable. Remember those banks, Billy Bob? We don't even know all the banks that got that tremendous bailout. More than once have been bailed out. It was at taxpayer expense. We got to keep the big banks in business. But where did that money go? Who did it benefit? I have yet to read any accounting given exactly where that money went. When you've got your money in a local business, a local bank, when you've got it invested in your community, there is much more accountability, and it's a lot easier to find out whether that bank is using your money wisely or not. And also, there are businesses in your own community that could use your support, not only your purchases, but your investment support. Go talk to some of these businesses that are starving for funds right now, or let them talk to you if you've got some extra money. Let them borrow money from you personally at interest, and let them pay it back to you personally without the bank even being involved. Make an investment in your community. It's going to make a difference. Help these businesses so they, in turn, can help other people in your own community by creating more jobs, putting more people to work, having more useful, valuable information and services to sell that are needed right in your community so people don't have to be driving all over the world to get things. We can do this, and that is one very important step that we can all take if we choose to. We can vote with our pocketbooks and get our money out of the big banks and put it in our local banks, credit unions, and invest it in our local businesses. Yeah, I got a thumbs up from Billy Bob. Why don't you tackle number three, Billy Bob?
Okay, I'll tackle number three. I'm going to have to make it short because I think we're going to have a break in between all this.
Oh, okay. You know what?
Do you want to wait until after the break?
Yeah, we'll do Billy Bob right after the break. That sounds like a great idea. So we'll be back. Don't go away. Billy Bob is in the house, and he'll have something to say. Second half of Prepare for Freedom. And it got really quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah, I was taking a cat nap.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, the cats were snoring, so I figured I might as well go ahead and join them for a few minutes.
Well, I guess our lesson on activism is totally being lost on our cats. But we hope it's not being lost on you. Billy Bob, you were going to talk to us about
Number three. And this one I kind of really like a lot. You know, stop working as a corporate wage slave and start working for yourself. Boy, do I love that. I mean, I'm going to stop right there. I really love that because, you know, when you're working for yourself, you feel like you've accomplished a lot. You've got a little freedom. And that's just like us doing this radio show. We have our freedom because then we have control of how we want to make money, how to make a living, or whatever, which way you want to call it. We have more control over that. We don't have to be slaves to the corporate clock in and out and say, well, break time, lunch time, you get 30 minutes. When you own your own business, you're your own boss, so you make your own decision of how you want to live. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. The less you put in it, the less you get out of it. Good thought for the day. Find some find something you love and do and turn it into a living. Exactly what I'm talking about. Yes, it will take time to do this, and you will need to learn how to live with a lot less. But you will sleep a lot better at night and experience the joyous freedom of knowing that you are no longer have to sell your soul to corrupt system and corporate tyrants that is destroying us all.
Now, those are kind of strong words, you know. We're talking about a system that we believe is corrupt, an economic system that has taken the vast majority of working Americans and turned them into corporate wage slaves. Now, there are some high-paying corporate positions out there. I worked for a corporation, more than one corporation. At the time, I thought it was a great deal. I had benefits. I had a paycheck. But I also found out I had something else. And that is that I did not have the freedom to choose how I wanted to use my time. I had other interests besides punching the clock and working that I wanted to do. I had hobbies, interests, things I wanted to learn. But those all had to go in the back seat because, number one, was showing up at the job on time, putting in my hours, and going home. And many, many times when I got home, I was too tired to do some of the things that I wanted to do. Things that could have allowed me to start working for myself. I wasn't thinking about that at the time. All I was thinking about was the money and the convenience of having my work day drawn out for me. I didn't mind being told what to do usually because then I didn't have to think for myself on how I was going to spend my time. I knew what I was going to do. I went and did it. And if I got home and say if somebody didn't like the fact that I was grouchy and tired, well, guess what? I had a good excuse. And Billy Bob is grinning from ear to ear. You've heard that one before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, all the time. But when you're your own boss now, you know, you can't blame nobody but your own self there.
Yeah, it does involve a major aspect of personal responsibility. Like Billy Bob said, there are some things you're going to need to learn how to do to make this work. To start with, you're going to need to learn how to live with a lot less. That also is going to mean you're going to find out about what your priorities really are and stick to them. You're going to have goals. You're going to go somewhere, take what you love, turn it into a living, and not only are you going to help yourself, but you're going to make a big difference for other people, too, by doing that. You're going to set a wonderful example for some other people that may have been thinking of doing that. We can teach and lead not only by our own actions and by what we tell others, but by our example. Example is one of the best teachers. And I can speak personally when I say that, hey, I make a whole lot less money than I did when I was working for the big corporations. But would I want to go back? No way. I enjoy my freedom. I'm living where I want to live now. I'm living out in the country. I'm living in a small community. I couldn't do that when I was working. I had to be in the big city. I did not like that, but I had no choice. I feel like I'm in control of my soul and my life again. I feel like I'm serving me, and I'm serving the God that I believe in, and I even have time to serve my fellow man. I think it's great. To me, corporate also includes your any kind of large company or government employee, anything that is large, multinational, whether it be government or corporate. They are a law unto themselves, and they are not working in our interests anymore, in my humble opinion. And when we serve them, we are serving their interests, and it is that system that is bringing us down as a nation. It's time to take back our freedom. Anyway, that's my little soapbox speech about point number three.
That's a good point.
Now, we got a great one for number four. We got to watch it here because if anybody's listening to see if we're doing anything subversive in our show, boy, this is going to get their attention. You know, Billy Bob, we talked about this before, and we're already doing it. We have already launched a subversive plot, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised of how many more people are starting to do
this. Yeah, a lot of people are launching similar plots like we have. In fact, there's a plot in the backyard here. There's a couple of smaller plots encased in concrete blocks close to the patio with soil in them. Oh, golly, man. You know, there are plots all over the place that are being hatched. You know, if you start looking around, what kind of plots are we talking about, Billy Bob?
Oh, you're not talking about cemetery plots.
No.
Oh, okay. You had me worried there for a minute. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I thought I was having a heart attack here when she said plots. But she's talking about a victory garden.
Garden plots. Yeah. Garden plots. Right. We call them subversive plots because every bit of food that we can grow ourselves or get from somebody else's garden or the local farmer's market gives us that more freedom to make food choices that lead to freedom from many of today's common health disorders. Our food, our manufactured Frankenfood, generally speaking, the stuff that comes in boxes and cans and containers and is mass-produced, for the most part, that food has been majorly stripped of the kind of nutrition we need. It's all done in the interest of producing the greatest quantity of product for the cheapest price. And if we can make something that's going to get people hooked on that instead of something healthy, all in the name of profits, go for it. And so what we have is a situation where many years ago we had a lot of family farms that we could go to get our food. If we didn't necessarily have the space or the time to grow our garden ourselves, but at least we had our local farmers market and family farms usually within a short driving distance that we could go visit. Well, now those family farms are disappearing so fast it's hard to find them anymore. And what we have instead are these corporate food giants with their deceptive, dishonest packaging foods masquerading as under names like all natural eggs or nature's friendly farm chicken burgers. Really thrilling names that have nothing to do with real food. Did you know that some people believe that chickens have tenders? You know, you can buy chicken tenders. Well, of course chickens have tenders.
Yeah, they do.
They do? Where are they?
I don't know, but you can buy buffalo wings, and they say they come off of
that's
buffalo.
That's right. Buffaloes fly, too, and chickens have tenders. Right. That's just some of the junk that we get in our advertising that has taken us away from real wholesome food. I want to share a story here real quick. You'll love this story, Billy Bob, because it's about Rooster J. Remember Rooster J? We live here in a small town, right about a block or so away from City Hall. And we had chickens here for a while. We even had a rooster. And that rooster actually was trained so that he did his crowing in the morning inside the coop. And when he got outside with the hens, he better stay quiet, because if he didn't, he was going to be in big trouble. We actually were able to train a rooster. Now, this rooster had one problem. He had it in for Billy Bob.
Yeah, he didn't like me.
That rooster hated Billy Bob. He was okay with me, but boy, he would give Billy Bob the look, and he was ready to go get Billy Bob. It was really funny to watch, but it was also dangerous because that rooster was big, and we had to deal with that, but, that really isn't the reason why the rooster had to go. That's another story. I won't get into that. The rooster didn't do what he was supposed to do as far as making fertile eggs. So he wound up fulfilling his destiny in the pot of the most delicious stew you could ever believe. And, I can remember eating that stew and thinking, this doesn't even begin to taste anything like this stuff called chicken in the stores. It was so good. It had been stewed and simmered with some good wholesome vegetables, and it was tender. And the meat was really dark. It had a flavor all its own. It was so delicious. And I'm thinking, man, what are we missing? So, Rooster J's ultimate destiny was in the stew pot, but he did a really good job. And it's so hard nowadays to get real chicken anymore or really homegrown meat of any kind anymore.
Yeah, so, most of your chicken now you buy, like you'll say, chicken portioned of ribs and of this and that and all, so it's not real chicken no more.
Listen, we're talking about a subversive plot, gardens in your backyard. And many people now are getting chickens in their backyards, becoming legal in more and more places to have chickens. Whatever you can do, get your little piece of nature and start using it again. Let's bring back those victory gardens under a new name and call them Freedom Gardens.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Let me bring out a real quick point. Since we talk about you talk about farm markets and all like that. At the same time, people are actually going to work too. So you're helping out everybody at the same time. You got to have people buy your product, and they're buying it, but you're also helping them out with fresh products, fresh vegetables, fresh meat, and you're also, they're working to make a living. So everything still stays in your community.
Right. And I don't know about you, Billy Bob, but one of the funnest things for me to do is when it's time to harvest some things, like tomatoes, for example, the really yummy stuff that you can't even begin to get in the store with any kind of taste like you get out of your garden, is going over to a neighbor or somebody with a handful of fresh tomatoes, and the smile that you see on their face when they open the door and they say, hey, these are for you, just being good neighbors. And the next thing you know, that neighbor comes over a few days later with maybe something they made themselves or cooked themselves or some vegetables in their garden that they come back. You get all this swapping around of good food, and it really builds really good friendships and community, all that warm, fuzzy stuff that you don't get when you're working in your isolated corporate cubicle. And I won't go any further, but we're talking about getting back. When you become an advocate for freedom at the personal level, at your home, you're also becoming an advocate for freedom in your community and helping your neighbors out, even if you don't plan to start out that way. It's going to happen because it's so much fun.
Well, actually, you're getting an education because you're learning how to help out people, and maybe children somewhere along the line might be saying, why are they doing this? They might ask questions and all, and their parents will explain what's going on. So, you know, everybody get to learn something. And like number five is educate yourself, your loved ones, and your children about the Constitution of the principle of freedom among which America was found.
I hope they still teach the Constitution in school.
When I did, they did. I don't know about now.
I don't know if they teach anymore that Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican.
No, they just tell him he was the first president, assassination and slavery and all like that.
Yeah.
They don't teach a lot of stuff like that too much no more.
Every school child, in my humble opinion, should be taught the Constitution so they know what's in it, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, to read it, understand it, so they understand what principles of freedom are and what freedom is.
You know, there's one big freedom that we have really lost since you brought that up. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. You're good.
They're one of the biggest freedoms we're really starting to lose, and it's in there of freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
Oh, yeah.
Because it seemed like now they want to take everything out of school. You can't say prayers here, say this. Our poor fathers found this country on that because they knew who helped them get across the ocean. They knew there was a Lord, a God that came here to help them with everything. So they wanted to be sure they bless God. That's why God bless America, to give us the freedom of making our choices. But they're trying to take that away.
The Bill of Rights has just about been stripped clean, especially with some of the legislation and executive orders that have been recently passed. And perhaps we can do another show on that at another time, because we really have just about lost every freedom in the Bill of Rights. And there are school kids probably nowadays that don't even know what the Bill of Rights is, let alone what's in it, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution.
No, they don't teach that. They're getting away from a lot of stuff. They're getting away from everything. They're getting away from God itself. And, you know, I really hold something true. God created this earth in 6 days. He worked to create this earth for us. And the seventh day, he took a break from it. And he said, how good everything is. And, you know, we should go back to our basic of putting God first. So, you know, when you say about growing a garden and all like this, we're going back to how God wants us to do things too, and helping people. It all goes back to way back to Adam and Eve of helping people and communities. And we lost it.
Yeah, we just about lost it, but there's hope. And there's something else that I just wanted to mention here briefly that has happened. Not only have we had so many of our freedoms stripped away, but the politicians, for the most part, that we have in Congress now at any level, it used to be that people who were elected to public office were accountable to the people. Why? Because their campaigns were funded by people. Now all that has changed. there was legislation passed several years ago that allowed corporations to fund politicians or candidates for public office. So what happens is these same big corporations whose interests are not in harmony with the principles of our founding fathers, these same big corporations are funding our political candidates' campaigns. So who are these candidates really accountable to when they come into office? It is not the people anymore. It's the corporations. Now we are voting people into office who are accountable to the corporations, not the people. We need to change that. We need to start voting for candidates who operate with ethics, who are supported primarily by people's funds, and not support the ones simply who give the slickest speeches and promise the most handouts. We are putting ourselves into a very, very, very dangerous situation as a result of that. The so-called status quo now has nothing to do with freedom in this country. We need to wake up, people. Pay attention. Look around. We have ways in our possession to start restoring our nation. And if we don't start putting our time, money, and effort into restoring our nation, we're going to lose it. Every dollar that you spend, save, or invest in a corrupt, too-big-to-fail bank or corporate giant is a dollar that will one day be used to wage economic warfare against you and your own children. What do we need to do, Billy Bob? It's in big letters. What do we need to do?
Stop feeding the wrong thing. Get back to the back to earth. Get back to nature. Do things more for yourself instead of letting corporate officers and the government tell you what you have to eat and all.
In other words, if you don't like what the beast is doing to you, stop feeding it.
That's it.
Start supporting those in this country who still love and cherish freedom, and do it now with determination, not procrastination. And we got one final point to share before we wrap this up. And don't forget this, because perhaps this is the most important thing at all, of all we do.
Laugh a lot, love more, fear less, and remember that God is still in charge.
Right. Lighten up, laugh a lot, love more, fear less, and remember that God is still in charge. And as we come to the close of this show, we invite you to think about what we said. Are you going to be an activist for your own family, for the sake of your own freedom, for the sake of our country's freedom, or are you just going to continue to sit back and watch the world go by? The time is now, and remember that it is never too late to prepare for freedom.